Friends, we are thinking this morning about what it means to be childlike. What does it mean to be childlike? Here's some letters written by children to their pastor. Dear pastor, please say in your sermon that Peter Peterson has been a good boy all week. Yours sincerely, Peter Peterson, age 9. Dear pastor, I know God loves everyone, but he never met my sister, Arnold, age 8. Dear pastor, I think a lot more people will come to your church if you moved it to Disneyland, Lauren, age 9. Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished. Cindy, age 6. That's not the end. And finally, from Joshua, age 7. Dear pastor, my dad says I should be quiet in church. Is that because there's people sleeping? Children are a wonderful gift from God. They are our lovable, they are our beautiful, they are our future. But anyone who's ever had a child will know that they are also, for want of a better word, childish. I wonder if you've ever been accused of being like a child. Grow up, stop behaving like a five-year-old, you might hear. Usually it's not a compliment. And yet in this passage that we've just had read, not only are children brought to Jesus, who takes them in his arms and blesses them, but Jesus even says that in order to truly know God, we must become not childish, but like a child, like a little child. We must become childlike. Does that surprise you? John Mark, our author, who's writing up eyewitness testimony of the life of Jesus, is recording in Mark's Gospel how Jesus has shown compassion towards the paralyzed and the blind being brought to him, and how he's answered the religious leader's question about divorce by saying that wives should be respected and they should be loved. And now, in his words and in his actions, Jesus shows how children should be valued and how children should be cherished. Imagine the scene, seeing the empathy and the kindness of this itinerant Galilean preacher. People were bringing 7-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 2-year-olds to Jesus, and in an age very different to our own, they wanted him to place his hands on them and to bless them. But wait, what's this? Verse 13, Jesus' disciples, his closest friends, they decide that they're going to act like baby bouncers. They're not the elasticated type, but those wanting to keep children out of the Jesus club by giving oncoming parents a good tellings off. Can we see verse 13? The disciples rebuked those bringing children. These disciples, they're supposed to be aspiring leaders, but instead they're throwing their weight around, trying to be gatekeepers. In chapter 9, they've already tried to be the ones to determine who can use Jesus' name. And now they're trying to restrict who can come into Jesus' presence. In their estimation, like the prevailing cultures, children were considered just too lowly, too childish to trouble their Jesus. The nerve. Does Jesus let this one go? Because after all, Jesus is a busy man. No, have a look at verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Literally, he was aggrieved. He was greatly afflicted. He was furious. Jesus was livid. Because not only were the disciples stopping others from coming to Jesus, bad in itself, but those they were stopping were children.
They were children. You see, children are valuable to Jesus. They have their whole lives ahead of them to serve Jesus and to live for Jesus.
Once after a meeting, the evangelist D.L. Moody was asked by the host, how many lives were given to Jesus this evening? And he said, 2.5. And the host said, what, you mean 2 adults and 1 child? And Moody said, no, 2 children and 1 adult. The children have given their lives to Jesus in their youth, but the adult has come with only half his life ahead. Or, as Dr. Zeus said, adults are just outdated children. More importantly, children are precious to Jesus. And so he corrects his own disciples. Verse 14, let the little children come to me. Let them, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God on this earth belongs to such as these. We're told in no uncertain terms that we must bring our children to Jesus. We must bring our children to Jesus. We must not hinder them. We must not stop them. We must not prevent them from coming to Jesus for blessing, for salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins. Today in Cheltenham in the UK in 2017, what does bringing children to Jesus mean? Well, if you are one of the godparents here, let me say to you directly what bringing children to Jesus means by speaking of your responsibilities towards baby Jem. But of course, this applies too to every believer here in your attitude towards children in general. So bringing baby Jem to Jesus means having a deep love for both Jem and for Jesus. And it means praying for Jem's salvation, that one day he will grow to trust in Jesus for himself. And bringing baby Jem to Jesus also means practicing relational discipleship. It is not just buying him gifts and asking how he is, but it is teaching him and it is showing him what it means to follow Jesus. If you're a godparent, that's your responsibility. It means showing Jem the true story of the Bible. Not a set of moral lessons, but the story of redemption culminating in the risen Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. So for all of us here, but for the godparents especially, bringing children to Jesus is a big deal. You have a great responsibility. You have a great influence on this beautiful baby. Someone said children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. Children are great imitators, and it's our job to give them something great to imitate. So godparents, it's your role to make an impression on baby Jem for the good of God's kingdom. So you are all spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. That's what the word godparent means in every culture. But what about parents? And I'm looking here at Sharon and Augustine, but I'm looking to at all parents here. How should Sharon and Augustine bring baby Jem to Jesus? How should any parent here bring their own child to Jesus? Well, the answer is not just to bring them to church and let the church teach them about Jesus. The church can do the religious bit, but not me, thanks. No, the primary responsibility is with you, parents. The responsibility is to bring your own children to Jesus by guiding their hearts. Not just their behavior, but their hearts through a relationship of love and freedom, which models for them the gospel. Easier said than done. So we're not just teaching our children, be good, don't be bad, but rather we're teaching baby Jem, we're teaching our children to relate to God through
worship. We're showing them that a relationship with God is about grace. It's about forgiveness, not about good behavior. And that means constantly preaching the gospel to yourself and your child in what you say and in how you live. A good way to do that is to have a time every day when you read a children's Bible to your child and pray with them, maybe just before bed. You're teaching them and you're showing them by example who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. And of course, a formal way of signifying all this is through what Augustine and Sharon are doing this very day, dedicating Jem to the Lord, presenting him from the front, thanking God for his arrival, yes, but vowing to bring him up in a way whereby he can one day choose for himself whether he wants to follow Jesus or not. I've said it again, let me say it once more. Jem has not become a Christian today, but Sharon and Augustine have today dedicated themselves to teaching him about becoming a Christian so that he can make his own choice. So bring your children to Jesus and do not hinder any from coming to him by your parenting or your godparenting. What a responsibility that is. We need the Lord's help, the Lord's patience, his power and his wisdom by the Spirit to know how on earth we can do this. And we must pray for these things. Lord, help us, we pray, to bring children to you by modeling for them the gospel of grace. So that's bringing children to Jesus. But in our passage, Jesus goes even further. He doesn't just say, let children come to me, but even more, he says that children are an example to us grown-ups. Did you notice that? Children are an example to us grown-ups. Verse 15, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. When he says that, it means listen up. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus is saying, you disciples, rather than acting like overseers, driving others away, being a true disciple means becoming like a little child. Become like a little child. Come like a child to Jesus. So hear this, if you want to receive the kingdom of God, if you want a relationship with God, your sins forgiven, your eternal destiny secured, his Holy Spirit living in you, if you want to live your life as a part of the plans and the purposes of the God who made you, you have to become like a little child. No, not become childish, but childlike. Now, that doesn't refer to any inherent qualities that children are supposed to possess. Jesus is not saying children are humble, trustful, hopeful, willing to believe, so be like them too. No, anyone with kids will know that children can be demanding, sulky, stubborn, selfish, just like us. Let me illustrate. If you're a parent, something very similar may have happened at your meal table. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Ryan, age 5, and Jake, age 3. And the boys began to argue over who should get the first pancake. So the mother saw an opportunity for a lesson. Now, boys, if Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. So Ryan turns to his younger brother and says, Jake, you be Jesus. In our passage, Jesus is not saying, be like children because they're selfless and they're considerate and they're kind. Anyone can see that just like us adults, they're not always. But rather, Jesus is referring to the fact that children, in the eyes of society, are little. Little in status. Little in status. Let me read from the chapter before, Mark 9, verse 33. Jesus asked his disciples,
"What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the road they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me, his Father God." You see, in the ancient world, children had no status. Unlike today, there was no romantic notion of childhood as a stage in a person's development. Whilst male offspring were valued more highly than females, Roman law allowed a father to discard, to throw away any unwanted child, or even to sell them into slavery. In Jesus' time, if children did make it to teenage years, their value was seen only in terms of their economic benefit. For boys, they're worth extending a family's control over trade or land. And for girls, a means of improving a family's honour and financial security through marriage, which often happened at 13 or 14. But before they're teenagers, children did not count. But Jesus says, children who in society's eyes and in the disciples' eyes have no status, children who must be brought to Jesus by others, children who have nothing to commend them, an audience with him, children are in fact an example. They're an example. Because their way, in contrast with the overbearing disciples, is bringing nothing except their own littleness to Jesus. And that way is the only way that any of us can come to God and can receive his kingdom. If you were here this morning and you would say that you are not yet part of God's kingdom, that you don't know Jesus and that you know you want to know, how do I get in? What can I do? What can I bring to be part of God's kingdom? The answer is nothing. Nothing. It is your littleness that God requires. It is your lack of credentials that makes us acceptable like a child. You see, if God asked you now, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" We can never answer that question with a sentence that begins, because I did this, because I went to church, because I confessed to the priest and he prayed for me, because I was a godparent, because I was quite a good person. No, nothing that we do or say can impress God and somehow twist his arm so that we can be part of his rule and reign on earth. Because ultimately, we only bring our sin, our wrongdoing, our imperfection to him. We have nothing with which to impress God. And that is why we must come like a child, little and weak, and nothing to offer, relying completely and utterly on Jesus and what he's done for us at the cross. So the only answer to "why should I let you into my kingdom" that God will listen to and accept is because Jesus died and rose again for me, taking my place. Because of what he's done, not because I have any goodness, not because I have any status or any credentials, because only through Jesus can I be part of God's kingdom. Only Jesus died on the cross as a substitute for me dying, the just penalty for my sins placed upon him, not me. Only Jesus took my sin and my shame and my pride
and my wickedness upon himself. Only Jesus rose again from the dead, defeating my sin, doing away with it completely, so that if I believe in him and if I believe in his forgiveness completely, only then can I be part of his kingdom. Only then can I be given a new life. Only when we are little, like a child, are we open to receiving the reign of God in our life, that free gift of grace that we cannot earn, given to us in Jesus. Perhaps you've never received Jesus' forgiveness in your life. For some reason, you think that you can earn your way to God. You cannot. You cannot. But today you can pray for the first time. God of heaven, help me to receive your kingdom like a child. I admit that my life is full of sin. I bring nothing to you. But I thank you that in Jesus you forgive all my sin, dying and rising again on the cross. I believe that and I commit my life to you now. You can pray that today. I'm going to leave a short pause just for quiet reflection to pray that prayer, if you want, in your own words, in your heart. God of heaven, help us to be childlike in receiving your rule and your reign in our lives. Help us to realize that we bring nothing with which we can impress you. Only the darkness of our sin, for which you died as a substitute and rose again. Please help us to bring our children to you so that they may experience your salvation and be part of your plans and your purposes for this world. And please help us to come to you, childlike, trusting you as our Father, knowing that your mercy and your love and your care follow us every day of our lives. Help us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen.